This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
2 minutes left.
This is a message to all the haters out there. If you don't like what I do, but you watch everything I'm doing, you're still a fan.
Where the ball is at? Ask me where the ball is at. One more quarterback. Yeah. Fuck a pretty bitch, gotta let you have it. I don't do this for the motherfucking rapping. I do this for the ratchets.
Spit on that thing. Fuck good.
I do it for the ratchets.
Spit on that thing.
Yeah.
Fuck good. Spit on that thing.
Hot. Hey. You know what? Every week I look forward to whatever the intro is. And even though when we in the background and it's not live,
we can still see each other.
Yeah, we can see each other, but I'm turning on the sound so I can hear what's playing, because even I don't even know what's going to come. Y'all got to understand, this man will come up with an intro song every week and we don't know. That's that's the beauty of how this show runs. That one? Yeah, I'm glad you threw it in there, man. It's kind of provocative.
You know, get it out of the way.
Yeah, get it out the way. That's been something that's been going live on the internet. So we definitely want to throw it in there and get it popping. So, guys, once again, this is episode 29. We're episode 29. I almost at 30, man. Doing a damn 30, good 30. Job at this. I know, right? So episode 29 of our Hog HQ Live, which is brought to you by the Hog Talk Podcast. Shout out to my guy, Porter Hayes. So at the end of the day, we're going to start this off real right, and we're going to pay homage today. So once again, you know, this is a summer session where things are kind of slow, but at the same time, we're going to start talking about things that matter in the grand scheme in regards to football and looking at the upcoming season. Today, as you can see on the left, we're going to start off with a Ryan Mallett situation where we're going to kind of give homage to his legacy, his career, and his life. And then, of course, we'll start going in. You see 24 quarterback room. Every week, we'll start going into position groups and just kind of giving a breakdown of what's currently on the roster, what could be, and what could come of it. And even though it's not directly Arkansas-related, it is in a sense that Coach Cal has some people drafted. So we're going to get into the NBA draft just a little bit and talk about some pro hogs. So You, sir.
You ready?
You got some beautiful bean footage for us.
Yes, sir. So this comes from TVH 11 out of Central Arkansas. It's just a little, it's about 3 minute clip that they put out of Ryan Mallett, his legacy, what's going on now, what's foundation, things like that. So sit tight.
It's been 1 year, and it is hard to believe, since legendary Arkansas quarterback Ryan Mallett tragically drowned in the Gulf of Mexico. He was just 35 years old. However, his legacy lives on here in Arkansas, thanks to his mother Debbie and his sister Lauren. Alex Stewart reports.
Davis a single setback, but it's Mallett with a quick throw to the corner to Adams. Touchdown.
It's still hard to grasp if he's not here. I sometimes think, oh, I need to call Ryan and ask him, and then I realize I can't call him. So, yeah, it's still setting in, and it's still a little raw.
June 27th, 2023. Ryan Mallett, a son, brother, and Arkansas football legend, passed away at the age of 35. But someone is never truly gone so long as there are still people to remember them. Ryan's sister Lauren and mother Debbie.
I think it just helps give us a little sense of peace in the best way that you can.
Are doing just that. After the initial grief of his death passed, the two knew they needed to keep his legacy alive. So they created the Mallett Family Foundation to bring together two of the things that he was most passionate about.
This is something that would be very dear to Ryan. And he loved kids and he loved athletics, so this is combining two of his loves together.
We just kept hearing these stories about Ryan's impact on the youth throughout the state. And we just wanted people to continue to have that memory and that and know that side of him. And so what better way to do that than to combine, like Mom said, the athletics and with the kids, making it free for them. Everything that we are doing, we know Ryan would absolutely be 100% behind.
From playing to coaching, Ryan spent years spreading the love of the game to the next generation in Arkansas, which is why there may be no better tribute than making sure everyone can get the chance to learn and love the game of football. But that's not all the foundation stands for. They also put on free basketball camps, offer athletic scholarships to attend college camps, and give out academic scholarships, all to give underprivileged and at-risk youth opportunities they otherwise wouldn't have.
Oh yeah, he would love it. Everything that we have done has been to kind of embrace who he was, and so trying to connect the kids and the sports and the free part of it, but also trying to pick things that we know Ryan would have wanted to be a part of if he was still alive.
Lauren has worked really hard to honor his memory, and it's really special.
In their first year, over 1,500 kids, nearly 1,000 more than anticipated, are helping them honor Ryan by attending those camps. And it's through helping grow their love of the game, through the dreams of the next generation, that Lauren and Debbie have ensured that the spirit and memory of number 15 will live on.
Just to see the kids out on the field and seeing the high school kids interacting with them, like that really speaks to me as to who Ryan was. Like those kids, I see Ryan in them, just the way they interact with the younger kids. And I think it sets in every day that he's not here. You kind of wake up with that realization, but we hope that it lives on through us. Like that's our goal.
That means everything, because we never want him to be forgotten, ever.
Alex Stewart reporting this morning. Now, to learn more about the Mallett Family Foundation, you can visit their website, mallettfamilyfoundation.com.
Man, that's what's up. Appreciate that footage right there, man. Hey, drop some hearts, drop some likes, some hearts on that on the show for that Ryan Mallett memory right there, man. We definitely appreciate him and what he did for the University of Arkansas. And the craziest part about that right now is we're at this juncture of his passing, and we got Bob Petrino back. It's almost like it's a wild situation on how things work out. You just never know how things are going to happen. We never thought we'd have Bob Petrino back on the sideline for the University of Arkansas. And, of course, he's the offensive coordinator at this point. And we got a quarterback of similar stature. I'll say similar stature. I won't definitely say, he won't be Ryan Mallett or Matt Jones. But he is Taylen Green. And once again, shout out to Ryan Mallett's family for continuing his legacy and making sure that it's carried on in a positive way. You got anything?
No, I mean, it's crazy that it's already been a year. I don't know, coming up, in August, I believe it's a year since Alex Collins. So, those are just back to back that
right
took a big hit as Razorback fans last year.
Yeah. been a lot of tough times for Razorback fans to get through, let alone what's been going on the field. So going into it, y'all tell a friend to tell a friend. Share this with somebody. Let them know that we are back again. We're going to jump straight into Ryan Mallett. Tell a friend, tell a fan, hashtag. That's going on the T-shirt. So, look, at this point, we want to jump into the 2024 quarterback room. So, the quarterback room, who you got on the total roster? And then we'll get into who we think should be projected on the depth chart.
All right. So, we've got, obviously, Taylen Green. I think we all know there. You got Malachi Singleton, KJ Jackson, Blake Bota, and Austin Ledbetter.
And Austin Ledbetter is the young man that played baseball, right?
Correct. And then Blake Bota was the redshirt freshman. He's a transfer from Coastal Carolina. Petrino, I guess, had recruited him previously. And then he went to the portal. And then Petrino got him there. I mean, him, I'm looking at, you know, he's going to be one of your, he's going to be one of your practice quarterbacks, practice squads.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end of the day, when you have a young roster of quarterbacks, and Singleton and KJ Jackson, you need some veteran leadership in that room along with Taylen Green. So looking at the depth chart, the way that I see it, it's already been discussed. Taylen Green is going to be the starting quarterback. And in his backup spot is going to be Malachi Singleton. This is my personal opinion about Malachi Singleton, because we look at it at the time, it was Malachi Singleton and it was Jacoby Criswell who were vying for the number two spot. And as we know, Chris will end up leaving and going back to North Carolina to be in the number two spot. Yeah, I wish we could talk to that man and ask him what made him think that was a great idea for him to go back to North Carolina just to be the backup. But he was upset with Arkansas because he didn't get the starting job. So either way it go, I got Green, I got Singleton, and I got young KJ Jackson. It depends on how his development comes together. I think KJ athletically gives him a better option in regards to what Petrino wants to run in this offense. What you got?
Oh, I'm kind of right there with you. I think Taylen Green obviously has already been named. I think really we could be looking at, you know, we may see weeks that you see KJ Jackson's getting a little push. I think it's going to be Malachi to lead the, you know, the next group. I kind of have hope that Malachi is the next quarterback after Taylen Green, just for sticking around and being here. Obviously, like we've talked about, 2026 is the year, not to take away from any of these guys, but
right.
Kane Archer or bust.
Kane Archer or bust.
You know, it's really a toss-up. You hope you don't get into a situation to where you're forced to play one of these guys.
Right.
And that's not taking away anything from them. But, you know, I mean, even with, you know, going back to Ryan Mallett's days, you know, I remember, I think it was the Auburn game that he got knocked out of, and then Tyler Wilson came in.
Oh, yeah.
And really showed us, you know, what we had there, which that's one thing with Petrino is, even if you're the starter, even if you're number one, I mean, I remember the stories of Ryan Mallett being late to practice, right, and then he got there, and it was Wilson's running with the ones. You were late.
Yeah.
You're not running with the ones if you're late. And that's the way it should be.
Right.
I mean, we've seen that in other sports, especially at Arkansas on the female basketball side of things, that, you know, you hear things that players aren't held accountable, et cetera. So, you know, hold them accountable. If, you know, I know that we're getting a different Bobby Petrino now versus what we had, but at the same time, he still knows what he's doing when it comes to the offensive side of the ball.
Gotcha. Now, I just had a little blip in my head of a political comparison, but we won't go there. Yeah, we won't go there. We won't go there in regards to Petrino potentially coming back. So, yeah, and about his leadership and what he brings to the table. And it's interesting that we talked about it before, about the offensive lineman joking with the guy and calling him by his first name. I was like, wait a minute, that's not how we've been seeing Bobby Petrino for the longest. So it's just interesting to see what it looks like this year. Transitioning straight into basketball. So the NBA draft this past week. In Atlanta Hawks, being in Atlanta, I was looking like, okay, who is Atlanta going to go with number one? And they got some dude named Zach from France.
You know, but he's he's been projected, you know, top three for over a year. So, right. You know, I saw some guy, there was another show, podcast or something. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Jeff Teagues, but it was another group. And they were they seemed pretty like put off by the pick. And let's be frank. I mean, all around, this wasn't that great of a draft to begin with.
Anyway.
I don't think you have any one player that you could necessarily look at and be like, that guy's going to be a superstar.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things. For my sake, you know, I have two of his Bowman first cards.
Right.
So I'll be sending those off to get graded from PSA. Now, of course, they're not going to have Wimby, you know, dollar amounts that he got this last season. But at the same time, you know, they're calling Wimby a generational talent.
Right.
I think that's a stretch, and that's not a pun for him being 7'4", but,
gotcha.
You know, it is what it is.
So we talk about NBA basketball, talk about the prospects and the draft. We talk about Coach Calipari coming to Arkansas and looking at his legacy at the end of the day, what he can bring to Arkansas. So Calipari had three players that were drafted, two in the first round. The two in the first round were top 10, top 7?
Top 8.
Top 8. So we had two. He had two in the top 8 from Kentucky. And everybody thought those players weren't even that good. But as he said in some of his interviews, it's his style of play. When people come from that lineage and come from that coaching tree, they understand what they're getting in a player when it comes to Coach Cal. So kudos to Coach Cal for doing what he's doing. And to this point, he had how many people drafted?
So in the past 15 seasons at Kentucky,
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Kentucky, Coach Calipari has had 50 draft picks as of this year's draft.
50.
Just 50. In the last 15 seasons.
Wow. So even if we think a player isn't good, somehow, some way, coming from his system, these guys end up getting drafted. And I think one of the things that he talked about in the interview I've seen is about how his players are the most players who ended up with their second contract. We talk about the lifespan of an NBA player, which is usually about four seasons. Yeah,
he posted today, like, that he named off a handful of his players, but that are just signing deals, $800 million.
Yeah.
That they just signed.
That's crazy.
In contract. That's crazy. Yeah. And that was only a handful of his players. That's not going, players playing now is over $1 billion.
Right.
Worth of contracts.
That's wild.
And so, I mean, I've got another clip too. It's about, I'm not going to say thank me, but I took an 11-minute clip. It was the segment from Undisputed on Fox Sports. I cut out most of Skip Bayless's stuff.
Why
did leave a couple.
Why you cut out? Why you cut out Skip? Tell us.
Nobody wants to hear about him. But I left in the parts that was essentially what would like, because then Keyshawn came on with the rebuttals. So you still hear a little bit of Skip's part, so you have an idea. But I mean, you know, essentially he asked, I'm not saying is Cal over, should Arkansas be worried was the main thing, is that you had these guys, two guys picked in the top eight, and look how you finished. And, you know, Keyshawn kind of laid it out like, you're getting a different type of player when you're getting one and dones. They don't necessarily have the same mentality, and it's not even a true one and dones. It's really like 6 to 7 months.
Correct.
But you're getting guys that, sadly, when it comes to the tournament time, they may not be all in.
Right. At the end of the day, they don't, end of the road for them at this point.
So you're looking at guys, you know, and it got brought up in this clip too, because could, what would happen with Coach K with those same players?
Huh.
And their point was the same thing, because Coach K relied on players that were there for 3 or 4 years. Correct. He had those guys. And then towards the end, he had some one and dones, and it didn't work out for him.
Yeah.
So, let's see. He want to play for him. Brad wants to play for him.
Brad said he want to play for him.
Hey, you know, I'm looking at it like, if I'm going to go, I know that I'm going to be potentially a lottery pick. If I go play for Coach Calipari, sign me up.
Yeah, I wouldn't care if he went to Oakland. I would have been on the board.
Nope, Teresa.
Hey, Miss Teresa, what's happening? Welcome back from your wedding anniversary. I hope you enjoyed yourself. We missed you last week, but I did give you a shout out. So shout out to you, Miss Satterfield, you and your husband anniversary. You sir, roll it.
Roll it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Bear with us, because I know a lot of people aren't fans of Skip Bayless.
Yeah. So Skip, he read off that list, right? And that's just Coach Cal. If you go all the way back to Rick Pitino and you run off that list, it's going to be the same type of list.
Yeah.
It really is. And they only got one. And then you go to Tubby.
They got
you run off. No, Rick only got one in Kentucky.
Well,
right?
Tubby got one. That's right.
Yeah, Tubby got one. So if you run off Tubby's list, he got one.
Right.
It's hard to win.
That's true. It's true.
They all going to have these players because it's Kentucky.
Yep.
I know Coach Cal. You really know Coach Cal. I don't know if you've been around him a little bit here and there.
A little bit here and there.
He's really fun to be around because he's a really good dude.
Yeah.
Is it possible he's a great recruiter who's a pretty lousy basketball coach? Is that possible?
No.
It's possible.
No, not at all. Okay?
Because I can make a case that no program in the history of college basketball has underperformed like all of his Kentucky teams underperformed. Mm-hmm. And I can make a case that because of his personality and charisma, that no coach in any sport has gotten a bigger pass over time than Coach Cal has gotten because of his relationship with the media, where everybody says, well, you know, they're one and dones and all that. Listen, if you're a basketball coach and I give you Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham and a bunch of other kids who are highly recruited, you got to do better than losing 10 games and then losing to Oakland.
If I hand those same players right there, and I gave them right now in this day and age to Coach K. Okay. Do you think they win the national title?
Well, I think they'd go a long way.
Zion, you think they? No, hold on. I'm gonna get him. List. So.
Okay, let's do Larry Brown, because listen, he's the greatest coach ever combined.
No, I'm doing Coach K. Larry Brown been in the pros. I'm not doing Larry Brown.
Okay.
I'm doing Coach K.
All right.
If I gave him the same players. They're not even going to the library. They go out to the cafeteria. They go in the gym to work out.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't going. These are one and they not. Their mindsets are different. Okay, when you look at the success that Coach K had, them dudes was in their second and third year, and in fourth year. Oh no, all the time. His one and dones. They didn't win the national titles with the one and dones.
Right.
He didn't even want to take one and dones. No, he literally
at the end he started
at the average, and it still didn't work out for him.
Great points. I see what you said. I see what you did there.
I mean, he just kept trying to force the issue that, you know, Coach Cal underperformed or underachieved as a coach at Kentucky. But, you know, to some of the points, for Kentucky fans to put and I'm not taking it away from what these guys have done, but you put Tubby Smith, you put Rick Pitino up on this high pedestal.
Right.
And now you shit on Coach Cal.
Right.
And yes, I know it's sour grapes because he left, but you have the same resumes, essentially, besides Correct. Draft pick.
Right.
One title, one title, one title.
Yeah. So, it kind of brings up Matt point when he talked about Dave Van Horn and baseball and how difficult it really is to really win and try to strive to get to a championship level every single year. Looking at your roster, looking at your schedule, injuries, etc. So I definitely understand that narrative, and it all makes sense to me in regards to guys trying to level it out. It's almost like we have an unrealistic expectation of people. If you're this legendary coach, you're supposed to have all these players, you should win more. I think the only other person I've seen do that in my time has been Nick Saban. And I'm going to be clear, even when he didn't win the championship, they felt like they should have won. That was just the expectation every single year because they have the level of talent or the guys that's getting drafted in the NFL. So I understand it to an extent, but sometimes it's so unrealistic. Why is your face pointing up like that? You must be looking at some comments.
I'm looking up something right quick.
Teresa said you did. In regards to my shout-out, she said I stay out of trouble.
But, you know, I was thinking about this earlier, too, like when I was clipping that. And then just even I thought about it a little bit during the draft, too, because I watched all the first round. I didn't even realize that the second round was the next day, like in the middle of the afternoon. I was waiting for it to be, you know, at night again. And then I get home from work, and I already see Ronnie James had already gotten drafted. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. So stay around if you got an opinion on that.
We've seen Kentucky fans since all of this happened basically come out and essentially be like, we're Kentucky, we'll be fine. He got those players because of Kentucky. Completely taking away from what his brand is and what he is. Right. We've even seen, you know, it's the University of Calipari referencing him being here.
Right.
And, you know, I think the way it could be looked at or should be looked at is, yes, Kentucky is a big brand. They have been for a long time. Mm-hmm. Coach Calipari is a big brand. He has been for a long time. You had two big brands that came together to make a even larger brand, higher expectations, if you will. And then now they don't think that he can succeed after them because he doesn't have Kentucky tied to him. Let's be real. He was a brand before Kentucky. He's going to be a brand after Kentucky. That's just how it works. And y'all are still going to be you. You're still going to be BBN. You're still going to do your thing. I can't wait for a basketball season to get here because I know that this is essentially the start to probably the biggest rivalry in the SEC when it comes to basketball.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll try to make Texas a rival too.
No, you know. Let's not force things that don't need to be forced. But, you know, and it's just one of those that's like, just own that he was a great coach. Own that y'all were both big brands. But own it was time for y'all to separate and part ways. It was a divorce that needed to happen.
Correct.
And there's still a bunch of sour grapes and hurt feelings over it.
I don't feel sorry for the BBL Nation. And I know it's BBN, but it's BBL Nation to me. Logan said you could change up the background. He said you went to the corner of the room today.
I'm always right here.
Well, I think your camera is more towards the wall.
No, I could do it. I've got like all new setups and stuff. So, you know, new mic, new mixer, like the whole nine. We're getting official over here.
You look like Metro Boomin over there with all them damn buttons glowing and stuff like that. Look.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care. Let me tell you, we don't care.
See?
Hey, Adam got some toys and he get a chance to push buttons. So all the little things you see pop on the screen, now he can all put that on the board and just press the button. So yeah, it's getting live every week. We getting something new, we adding on to it. Yeah, because of the partnership, like I said, we definitely want to be able to add to the show. BBL Adam Drew. Oh man, that's crazy.
All right, I'll stop.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Anyway, we talked about the NBA, and we'll transition to something else before we get up out of here this evening. With the number 55 pick in the NBA draft, the Los Angeles Lakers selected Bronny James.
The son of?
LeBron James. Who?
LeBron James.
We're playing with buttons over here. Matt, you like that? I see you in the comments, Matt. What up, Matt? So, at the end of the day, I've seen so many people speak on this draft pick. So, We talked about the level of talent that was in the first round. Some of these dudes, we didn't even know who they were, first round picks. So, whoever got picked in the second round, unless it was somebody you were looking for, you didn't know who they were either. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Khalil Ware and his family from North Little Rock. Even though him and his family didn't choose Arkansas while he was in state at North Little Rock, he ended up going to Oregon as a freshman, played decent as a freshman, and then transferred to Indiana. Changed his level of play and got dragged to the Miami Heat. So shout out to Khalil Ware and his family, straight out of North Little Rock. Only player from Arkansas that got drafted this year?
Hey, I think so.
Yeah. So we know we got some talent coming in 2025 and 2026. And as we've seen this week, a lot of those young players are going to other schools outside of the state, Oak Hill and whatnot, to get some leverage at Link Academy. Just to get more leverage and get more exposure so they can go to these big-time schools or go straight to the NBA after 1 year of playing ball. Real quick, I'm going to get back into Bronny James because I ain't done talking about that. Not to change the subject from basketball, but I think...
He's a schlong.
It's going to be... going to do Dose of Karma. A&M hired... yeah, we got something on that too, Teresa. Hired the hitting coach early. As head coach and the portal guys most likely go back to A&M. That's going to be interesting to see what happened with A&M in Texas. That's a slippery slope. I don't know how you could do that.
I mean, it's you're going to have players that want to come to Texas because it's Texas.
Yep.
Not because of him. He's obviously shown his true colors. He can't come back from anything that he said or did. Mm-hmm. So, you know, flat out asshole move. And, You know, it's one of those that now he's not going to hear the end of it. And it's not really just going to be from A&M fans.
Right.
He's going to hear it almost, you know, any stadium he goes into. Right. So it's not going to work out for him is what it is. You know, life goes on, but showed your true colors and now it's going to come back and bite you.
All right. Let me get back on Bronny James and LeBron James. So at the end of the day, the young man, had a nice high school career, right? So he got elevated. He went to end up committing to USC. He had a heart condition, which held him out. And he had to get his bearings back together in order to play. Now, he did not put up outstanding stats. Hell, we seen the young man, Baycott from UNC, who balled out, who came for a second year, didn't even get drafted, got free agency. So people say a lot of the conversation is, well, the only reason why he got drafted is because of his dad. Can anybody tell me who calls the shots for the Dallas Cowboys?
Don't worry, I'll wait.
Yeah, Steven, that's his son. Is it not?
Nepotism runs rampant, and nobody ever talks about it or wants to say anything about it until this.
But and my question about it is, I don't even feel nepotism, right? I feel like nepotism is more in the sense of, well, it could be on either end of the spectrum. So when I watch a lot of these coaches hire their sons, didn't Coach Cal just bring his son to Arkansas?
Yep.
And put him on. Didn't Musselman just have his son on the roster on the coaching staff? Yeah.
Didn't we have Hunter Yurchek's son along the linebackers while he was at Arkansas?
Interesting. Didn't Coach Pittman hire all his homeboys and friends when he first got the job and ended up firing all of them because it didn't work out? So this is nothing new. So I think I know, but I won't speak on it here, of why this seems to be an issue. I think it has a lot to do, for me, of the greatness of the player. To the fact that he has influence. You see who the coach is at this point. Mm-hmm. This man is behind the scenes GM.
He's been interviewing. Well, J.J. Redick's been interviewing for
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive.
eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This job for the past several months with their podcast.
Exactly.
If you didn't see this coming, I'm not saying Dan Hurley was a smokescreen. You're trying to get, you know, the best possible coach you can get. But at the same time, you know, you went with who he as in LeBron James felt comfortable with.
Yep. Real quick, Logan, go ahead.
No, you're good.
All right. So Logan said, good job, Lakers. Hey, top 10 of most combined sports second round was mid. Bronny did a good job in the combine. He did. He was in the top 10 percentage, I think. And looked, if any dad can, any dad, be there for his son. You know what? Shout out to that comment. It happens for dads at FedEx, Chevron, hell, everywhere you see somebody get a job because of their dad, not because they were qualified. You know how you ride down the interstate? Great comment, Logan. Thanks for that comment. You ever run on the highway, you see like a plumbing company, and it says Davis and Sons? Hell, I guess Severin and Son was nepotism too. It's nothing wrong with a dad putting his son on. It's nothing wrong with somebody asking, hey, can you get my son in the law school? Hey, can you get my daughter in the nursing school? Like, it's nothing wrong with having relationships with people to where you're able to do that. I don't know what it is about the hatred of LeBron James and what he's done. I don't know if they're waiting on a scandal, because the man has been scandal-free to this point and had a great, lustrous, long career. So I don't understand what the hate is. Can't do that story.
Here's the thing with that. It's like, you know, Jordan is my GOAT. Nothing is going to change that. But at the same time, it's like, I don't necessarily have to like LeBron to respect him and respect his game. I didn't have to like Kobe Bryant to respect Kobe Bryant and respect his game.
Right.
But to sit here and just, you know, do I think that there were players better than Bronny James? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I also know when you're getting into the second round, especially the end of the second round of the NBA draft, those draft picks don't mean that much. Can you tell me who the last year's 55th pick was or the year before?
Know, look, even that, I do know Pat Beverly was number 55 the year he got drafted, though, number 55. I do know that. Other than that, I can tell you half the people that was at the second half of the first round of the draft. I already know who these dudes are, so I'm really not bothered by it. Shout out to the Lakers. Speaking of the Lakers, Adam, do you know who currently runs the Lakers organization? Who makes the calls?
Buss's daughter.
Oh, interesting. Isn't that a form of nepotism? Or maybe you want to call it inheritance. I don't know. But all I'm saying is, it's still family to family. You're going to keep the money in the family. We've seen so many cultures, so many ethnic groups do the same thing throughout history and even today. And it makes sense to me. If you can do it, do it. And I realize a lot of people that have these negative comments to say, you or your child does not have enough talent to even be in this conversation. Just get your child a job at where you work and hope that it works out for the best. There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, and I go from, okay, so he had the cardiac arrest event at USC before the season. All that, you know. Do I think that he would have benefited from coming back another season? Potentially. We don't really know. Right. He could have had an even worse season. And then, you know, it's an even, you got to go while you can. And at the same time, too, with LeBron knowing that his career is going to be done in the next 2 to 3 years, this was
time
essentially
not on the side. Yeah.
This was essentially it for this to happen. Here's the big question, though, is, you know, this keeps being what LeBron James wanted. What did Bronny want?
Hmm?
You know, that's not been talked about at all.
Yeah, only thing I heard about what Bronny wanted, said he wanted to get it his own way. In the sense of, I got an opportunity. Now it's up to me to do what I have to do. In regards to how people respect my level of game at the NBA level, at the highest level. So at this point, it's on him. Like I said, a lot of times, even people that's watching, like, I'm sure your parents could have done everything they can in their power to take you to all these baseball practices and travel ball and buy you the newest cleats and the glove. You're just not a superstar. And some people are so upset by that. Same time when we look at people in our generation, they look at their kids and they play them in all these sports and all these events, and they give them everything they can to hope they can be the best. But your child is only going to be who your child is going to be. And when they get the opportunity to prove that who they are or what level of competition they are, then they're going to show up or they're not. Real quick, jump in these comments real quick. Logan said, if I was Lucas' son.
If it was Lucas' son, would we be having this combo? Tatum, Curry? Nah, it would be a good job. What a story. This is great. 100%
true. 100%
true. But so going back, which media has changed, I mean, we all knew that Michael Jordan's sons weren't going to be shit.
Trash.
I mean,
yeah.
Granted, like I said, media is different these days. But, yeah, we all knew that that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. I think the biggest accomplishment Michael Jordan's son did was messing with
Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
I even dropped the phone on that. Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit. Wait a minute. Time out. All right. Go ahead.
No, you're good. And then, you know, Matt, talk right here. You know, drafted player had better stats than Bronny. And yeah, so there were some people not drafted. There was I can't remember the player's name. There's a player that averaged like 16 a game for USC that wasn't drafted. I get it. I totally get it. But like I said, when you're in the cleanup draft picks that aren't necessarily going to, I mean, they're kind of in the same boat as these players getting invited to teams and then the summer league. Here's the thing. Bronny still has to make the roster.
That part.
Yeah, is he probably going to? Okay, but can you tell me players 10 through 15 on any NBA roster? Legitimate 10 through 15 players?
No.
So guess what? He's going to be on the bench. He's not going to play that much.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to get the moment to come onto the court with his dad at the same time. They have their moment. And then guess what? It's done. It's over with.
And from that point
forward,
yeah.
It is, what is Bronny James going to do to legitimize himself?
Correct.
We're all blowing something up. Not everybody. That really, it's going to be when it happens, 15 to 30 seconds, and then it's over with.
Yeah. Do you know that Giannis has his brother on the roster?
He got drafted too.
Exactly.
Thanasis or whatever. If anybody wants to go see a trash player on a roster,
oh yeah,
go watch him.
Yeah.
And he makes $2 million a season, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not, I can't be upset about it. I can't invest that much stock into it. That's crazy. Had both of them at one time. Yeah. The Bucks had both of his players at one time. It was three brothers on one roster.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them was garbage. It's just crazy. But that just shows how much leverage the players have. We talk about the greatness of a player and how much he can impact the team. Somebody had a comment. I may have missed it. Nope. Didn't.
You know, it is what it is. It's one of those things that it's something to talk about. And, mm-hmm. I mean, LeBron is going to be hated on in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I also feel like because this part of the year is so slow in sports news, it has to become a big thing. There's nothing really popping in baseball other than an everyday game. So, it makes sense.
Except for Heston Kerstad hitting a grand slam.
That part.
Orioles, don't send him back to the minors, please.
And the other part is they can only talk about Caitlin Clark for so long with the WNBA. So at some point, it's losing its steam. But she had a good game the other day. I think she had 15 and 12. I guess Diana Taurasi. So that is what it is. But I do want to bring this conversation full circle back to the Razorbacks. We look at Coach Calipari. You said he had 50 players. To mm-hmm. date, has been drafted. He had two this year that was in the top eight, and one that was They got drafted.
Well, that was just 50 in the last 15 years at Kentucky. So okay, we're not 15. Counting Memphis, which would have been Derrick Rose and who else? DeJuan Wagner.
And UMass.
And then Marcus Camby. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're looking at 55-ish players total.
Gotcha. My question to you or anybody that's watching, how many players on this current Arkansas basketball roster get drafted next year? I'm going to give you time to think about it. Pull up the roster if you need to. Who do you think that's currently on the Arkansas roster will get drafted in next year's draft? Now we get an opportunity to see several players get drafted with the name Arkansas attached to them. And now Coach Calipari will be at the NBA draft hugging all the families of the players at Arkansas. Do you know how good that's going to feel to possibly have 2 to 3 people in the top 15 to 20 players get drafted, whether they be Porter players or they be straight out of high school guys, one and done? Do you know what that's going to feel like? That's going to be next level. So, Adam, I'm asking you the question. How many players on the current roster do you feel like have potential? Because we haven't seen some of these freshmen play on this level. We don't know what type of system they're going to play in with Coach Cal. Some of the transfer guys we've seen. We've seen their game, and it's a reason why they were highly rated in the transfer portal as players. How many players do you think Coach Cal will have drafted off this roster? Will Big Z have an impact? And this is all hypothetical because we don't know what can happen in the full season. If all these players are healthy and they make a push in the tournament, I'm just saying, hey, second, if they get Sweet 16, I may be pushing it for some folks. If they go Sweet 16 with this current roster and have a competitive season in the postseason of the SEC, how many players on this roster can be drafted? And Derek, we're going to get to those comments. I see what you're talking about.
I'm going to go, I think the floor is 3.
Okay.
And I'm looking at, some reason I feel like Theoro is going to have a breakout year. What was that?
Because I'm looking at Logan comment and he in both our heads, but go ahead.
Yeah. Brazil's going to have to stay healthy this year.
Right.
You know, the same can be said for DJ Wagner.
Okay.
You've got to stay healthy. So, gotcha. The freshman I'm really torn on. I think I could see either Fland or Carter Knox going.
Gotcha.
If they have the year that I think they'll have. I think one of them will. I'm not sure if both of them will. But I'd say the floor is 3 to be drafted.
Hey, man. Oh, okay. All right. I got you. I like what Logan said in the comments. I like Davis for sure.
John L. Davis.
Yeah, I like Davis for sure. Give me let me see, the young baller. If Big Z is healthy, give me Big Z. And I'm just saying, because we know the NBA is based on potential. If you be tall and have a full season, you'll get drafted. We've seen a lot of that happen. I mean, we've seen, Zach Edey from Purdue get drafted. Mm-hmm. He should have been a top 5 pick. He wasn't. So, it is what it is. I like Davis. I do like Knox. I think I like Knox. Knox or Flan. So, let me say, give me a freshman. Give me Davis. And the transfer from Tennessee.
They do.
Yeah, I think he's going to be that guy. I think he's going to be the cleanup guy. He's going to be nasty on the boards. He's going to have a lot of nice dunks.
So, I mean, essentially, we could be looking at half the team.
Hell yeah.
And when I say half the team, that's because rolling with 9, with 10 and 11 being role player, bench, practice players. So, you know, you'd be looking at 4, 5, 6 guys.
Yeah. The fact that he said Wagner was supposed to be great, so there's potential. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you got to think of somebody's mentality. If you were supposed to be this guy, and your dad has already been in the NBA, right, at a high level, you get an opportunity to play. And Coach Cal took a lot of flack for Wagner playing over other guys and not being the best player with a lot of turnovers he had in the season. So now you get another opportunity in another uniform And let's be clear, at this point, you're getting old in regards to NBA age standards. So you gotta ball this year. If you Wagner, you gotta
get it. It's basically make or break at this point. Because you're looking at, you know, like you bringing up the kids and the dads being former players. Mm-hmm. If anybody watches high school basketball or watches the recruiting, and this is kind of like times are changing. Mm-hmm. You know, kids are no longer just playing at their high schools in their state. They're right. going off. We just saw it happen here in the state of Arkansas, mm-hmm. where three of your top players over the next couple of years have left the state of Arkansas to go play in Arizona, Kansas, and Oak Hill.
Okay, I think it's been VA. Maybe. Yeah.
So they're not even staying in the state anymore because they want to go play better talent so that they can prepare for the NBA. And it's one of those things that they're able to now because of their dads. For a lot of them are. But if you watch, you know, the recruiting class rankings or any of these Nike circuits, Adidas circuits, New Balance circuits, I'm telling you now, like we're seeing it coming up quick with Carlos Boozer's sons.
Yep.
We're seeing it.
Scottie Pippen got another son.
And I know this is going, I think he's only in like eighth grade, ninth grade maybe, but I'm saying it now, Rajon Rondo's son is going to be a force when he gets up into this level. But these kids are, their parents are, you know, especially the former players, are giving them the tools to, this is what you got to do to succeed. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing these kids actually take it and run with it, whereas before, past generations, you didn't see this many former athletes' kids coming out like they are now.
Right.
But so I think DJ Wagner is going to come in with a point to prove, and I think his dad's going to have a big hand in that.
Absolutely. Man, first of all, while you have this whole conversation, shout out to the dads out there, man. Shout out to the dads in general. Like, the NBA dads, the dads who work the 9-to-5. I know we just had Father's Day just passed, and it's Men's Mental Health Month. Shout out to the dads, man. Let's not forget
the dads.
I thought
we weren't doing the 9-to-5 thing. It's 8-to-5. Let's get real.
That's what the world says. Hell, I know my alarm go off at 3:30 every morning. So as before, I know. As long as you get it in. Look, that's why I tell them I do a salary's day's worth of work. Logan, shout out Bryce James. Yeah, Bryce James has more potential than Bronny as well. Dude, Bryce is the real deal. People can't deny his talent.
A lot of what I've seen in his circuit ball lately, he's starting to get happy just sitting around the three-point line.
That's what all the kids do.
What I saw from him in the years prior, because that's what I initially thought. I was like, Bryce is going to have the size that Bronny lacks. And I'm just, I don't know. Did you freeze?
No, I just stayed still. I'm reading.
Screenshot.
Yeah, I just did the mannequin challenge on your ass. But look, at the end of the day, shout out to the dads, man. Just around the world, Logan said, did y'all catch my reels of my son and his private trainer? That's what I'm saying. Like, dads are taking the time to get these trainers for their kids to give them the best opportunity possible to make it in whatever they're passionate about. Whether they're living through their sons or whether their son actually enjoys the sport. The dads and the parents are taking time out of their day to make sure these kids get everything they can to be successful in their sport. So shout out to them. I know travel ball is hella money for a lot of people. Basketball, whether it be 7-on-7 in football or travel ball in baseball. And that's a lot of hot summer. So I definitely understand how they go. And that's a lot of money. It's a lot of time away from the home. I get it. So shout out to the parents for making it do what it do. You got anything before we get to wrap this thing up this evening?
Not really. I mean, pro hog stuff. We've seen, I started reading. So we've saw that Isaiah Joe is becoming a restricted free agent. So with that, essentially, Oklahoma City will be able to match any offer that comes in. Right. And I know I saw comments elsewhere like, oh, well, that's what the Kings did with Corliss and they screwed him over. And I get it. But at the same time, I mean, I'm looking to the potentially positive side of this. So he could be looking at, you know, upwards of 15 to 20 million a season coming up from the 2 million that he would have been making otherwise. So Oklahoma City wants to keep him. You know, they got rid of Josh Giddey and brought back Caruso, who started his career at Oklahoma City. Oh, Caruso, I would take him in a heartbeat.
And I'm shaking my head because I'm a Bulls fan. How the hell did we get rid of Caruso and get this creepy little dude right here? I'm like, why do the Bulls always just mess it up? I'm like, damn. Like
when they got rid of Gafford and Portis. And
and like I said, being an Arkansas guy and loving the Bulls, I'm like, oh, we got somebody from the crib on the Bulls. And then they shit the bed and let them go somewhere else and they ball out. I don't know. That is one of them things.
Jalen, so you kind of have to read in between the lines when it comes to like Jalen Williams. Yeah. So look at what Oklahoma City drafted. They drafted a guard and they drafted a wing.
Yeah.
They didn't go get another big. So that tells you that they are confident in him backing up Chet Holmgren.
Right.
So I think that he's going to sit. No, I don't want to say sit. He's going to be in Oklahoma City for at least, I would say, the next 1 to 2 years. I thought they would move him before this last trade deadline. Didn't happen, but seeing their draft, I feel like they are content with keeping Jalen.
And I'm going to tell you something that you can see. Jalen Williams, Bobby Portis, Daniel Gafford. Hell, Pat Beverly. The reason why these guys didn't start on as superstars and they was on the bench and they came in and played a role. The reason why they're being successful and retaining the current organization is because they play defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's their defensive prowess that keeps them on the team. Look, they're going to surround you with dudes who can shoot the damn ball all day. At the end of the day, they're going to surround you with dudes. But you see when Bobby Portis finally got this bag and went up and scored all them damn points this year? I'm like, look, man, it's because he's been playing defense is why they keep him on there and bring him off the bench. But when he get in there and get a chance to do his thing when Giannis was out, Bobby Portis ball. Daniel Gafford went from Washington and then went to Dallas, ball in the first couple rounds of the playoff.
And I'm just saying this because Jalen smiles so much. But three out of those four, if you're a teammate of theirs, they're going to be protecting you. Anytime.
Great teammate. I mean,
that little great rock teammate comes out of them quick, and then Chicago for Pat Bev.
But
they're not, you know, letting anybody, you know, get in the way, you know.
You don't know about that. Hey, look. Real quick. Shout out. Look what I got.
Uh-huh. Hey, I got an autograph one of those.
Why you got to be a hater? I bet you ain't got the picture with Isaiah Joe that you can get autographed. Oh, the one with Daniel Gafford. My parents.
I have his rookie guard.
Well, it's a card, but this is a real live picture.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll like wander into his camp when he does his camp at Northside here soon.
That's what's up.
But hey, this is going back to, do we want to do Matt's part? Matt, are you okay with that?
Matt, say in the comment. It don't matter because he said it in the group text. Okay, I just been saying, because by the time Matt come back for the next show, if this news already happens, then he gonna be like, but I already told y'all it was gonna happen. Meanwhile, while you wait on his comment, I want to show you something else that I got. And I don't know if y'all know, y'all, that part, breaking news. Look, Adam is a fanatic in regards to a couple things. Yeah, it's not going left, it's going okay. So Adam loves shoes. He is a sneakerhead, right? And he just buys shoes. And some of them look real sweet and some of them looking like, what are those? But he likes shoes. So I picked up some today. I want you to check these out.
Nines?
No.
Are those a six?
These are sixes, baby. Yeah. These kind of sweet, man. And I don't even have no sixes. Out of all shoes I got, I don't
have
sixes.
When you bought those, here's how I can gauge where you're at in the shoe world.
Okay.
In the sneaker world. What did you do when those came into your possession?
I did not lick the bottom of it.
That's where I was going with that.
I know you did, dog. I know you did.
For those of y'all that don't know, some, when they get a new pair of sneakers, they will lick the sole of the shoe.
For sure. So look, y'all thought these was them 45s. Y'all thought these was these Trumps. They're not. These is ones.
Those but, are the go ahead. Colorado Buffaloes.
These are the, I'm going to call them the Saints while I'm in Atlanta. But anyhow, what's up with Matt so we can get his part on? Okay.
So we're doing Matt's part. Some hog news. All right. So what we've got rolling is, let's see. So from what we've been told, Montario Elston from Parkview Magnet, running back 2025, should be a Razorback. I believe that one is coming soon.
Did we not just see a prediction from projection for OU?
That was the one I sent you earlier. That was his teammate, Amarion Robinson. Mm. So about a weekish ago, it was pretty certain that Amarion Robinson would be a Razorback also. And now over this last week, things have shifted towards OU, which, as everybody knows, tomorrow is July 1st. Texas and OU are officially in the SEC starting tomorrow.
We got to roast them or something.
So it's one of those that I think Elston is a 5'8 running back.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens in that aspect. I think Robinson was the one that hurts a little bit more, stings a little bit more.
But I mean, like,
I think he announces on July 6th, I believe.
Like Courtney Crutchfield?
Yeah, about that.
Or Kern. Maybe
and
Walker
then,
White.
And what else did... Who's... What?
Walker White.
No, Walker White, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking.
Then I believe the other one... KJ what did you say? Hill. Oh, this one's kind of... This one will please some folks, I believe. We're going into the baseball world. Has to do with your boy Nate Thompson.
You mean the hidden coach that everybody hated for a while?
Yeah.
The batting coach.
So Nate Thompson is essentially looking for another job.
Hog news.
But Dave Van Horn will apparently not fire him, but is urging him and pressuring him to leave.
Oh, so this is a Cody
Kennedy situation.
Oh, okay. We're friends, so, you know, I got a good working relationship with you. I really don't want to tell you to get the hell on, but at the same time, I'm getting pressured by the higher-ups for you to get the hell on. Mm-hmm. So please do your due diligence, go to some interviews, and get the hell on so I can hire somebody else. Mm-hmm. So we can get this team to the next level, because the transfer portal they've been having with baseball, they've been doing a pretty good job. I've been looking at some of these guys they've been getting in. You know, it all depends on what the team chemistry looks like once they get here. But they try to do this gorilla ball shit again and don't try to even consider small ball. I don't want to be back where we were this year and losing in the regional. So at the end of the day, I think they got an opportunity with the people that they're bringing in. Just depends on the staff and the guys that you have on board to be able to coach these guys and give them the energy that they need. But got anything else, sir?
No, that's really it.
There it is. So we're going to wrap this thing up. Tell a friend. To tell a friend that we are on this thing every Sunday.
That's the wrong one.
Yeah, I'll take that one. The more you know that we on every Sunday. You dig what I'm saying? Next week, we're looking to have Mr. Matthew back. He's taking care of some things, but at the end of the day, it would be all three of us back again. Hopefully with some more new news to give you guys. Thank you guys for jumping in these comments. Let me shout out Derek Covington. Derek Covington, does Pitt make it past the bye week? I hope so, because I'm tired of doing these damn resets, Derek. I'm sick of damn starting over with a new coaching staff and a new roster and Trent. I'm sick of it. So
oh, yeah.
Hopefully.
We did miss.
What's that?
Bear McCorder decommitting from Arkansas.
That's that bullshit. Now, Bear McCorder offensive line, I was about to leave. But you done pissed me off. Right. So Bear being a guy who's been coming to Arkansas camps for a long time. And even to the point to where him and his dad got a billboard saying, Coach Pippen, I want to be a hog. I want to be a Razorback. And we don't know because we haven't heard from him directly. We've seen, for you guys who are on X, you've seen his comment about he never thought about decommitting, blase, blase. But you lose Kern, and now Bear potentially, well, Bear decommitted. And it's just like, if nobody thought one guy would never decommit, it was him. Like, I feel like this guy committed like in the damn sixth, seventh grade. And it's to the point now where he's a 2026 enrollee, wherever he decides to go. And he said part of in his tweet that he can only do this experience one time. So I'm gonna look at this a different, I'm gonna try to play devil's advocate here, y'all. And I'm gonna say that because he has so much love for Coach Pitt and he wants to do things the right way per coach.
Well, looks like I lost DP. So on that note, we're out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.